What had the sentiments he entertained in regard to Disa ever amounted to? Friendly indifference and bleak respect. Not even in the first bloom of their marriage had he felt any tenderness or any excitement. Of pity, of heartache, there could be no question. He was, had always been, casual and heartless. But the heart of his dreaming self, both before and after the rupture, made extraordinary amends. He dreamed of her more often and with incomparably more poignancy than his surface life feelings for her warranted. These dreams occurred when he least thought of her, and worries in no way connected with her assumed her image in the subliminal world as a battle or a reform becomes a bird of wonder in a tale for children. These heart-rending dreams transformed the drab prose of his feelings for her into strong and strange poetry, subsiding undulations of which would flash and disturb him throughout the day, bringing back the pang and the richness, and then only the pang and then only its glancing reflection, but not affecting at all his attitude towards the real Disa. Her image as she entered and re-entered his sleep, rising apprehensively from a distant sofa or going in search of the messenger who, they said, had just passed through the draperies, took into account changes of fashion. But the Disa wearing the dress he had seen on her the summer of the glassworks explosion, or last Sunday, or in any other antechamber of time, forever remained exactly as she looked on the day he had first told her he did not love her. That happened during a hopeless trip to Italy in a lakeside hotel garden. Roses, black araucarias, rusty greenish hydrangeas. One cloudless evening with the mountains of the far shore swimming in a sunset haze, and the lake all peach syrup regularly rippled with a pale blue, and the captions of a newspaper spread flat on the foul bottom near the stone diaphanous bank, perfectly readable through the shallow diaphanous filth. And because, upon hearing him out, she sank down on the lawn in an impossible posture, examining a grass comb and frowning, he had taken his words back at once. But the shock had fatally starred the mirror, and thenceforth, in his dreams, her image was infected with the memory of that confession, as if with some disease or the secret after effects of a surgical operation too intimate to be mentioned. The gist, rather than the actual plot of the dream, was a constant refutation of his not loving her. His dream love for her exceeded in emotional tone, in spiritual passion and depth, anything he had experienced in his surface existence. This love was like an endless wringing of hands, like a blundering of the soul through an infinite maze of hopelessness and remorse. They were, in a sense, amorous dreams, for they were permeated with tenderness, with a longing to sink his head onto her lap and sob away the monstrous past. They brimmed with the awful awareness of her being so young and so helpless. They were purer than his life. What carnal aura there was in them came not from her, but from those with whom he betrayed her. And even so, the sexual scum remained somewhere far above the sunken treasure and was quite unimportant.